Welcome to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly. News, sports, and conversations that are important to Jackson County. This is the AM Jackson Podcast.
Local Jackson news now from the WKHM.com News Center.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the top of the hour. Reporting with WKHM News, I'm Mark Daly. 100 years and beyond together. A sold-out celebration at the Michigan Theater of Jackson last night. The event was to celebrate the return of Steve Tucker as executive director, turned into a massive turnout by the Jackson community. Steve Tucker was floored by the overwhelming response.
Overwhelming, yes. The whole experience has been beyond belief, and this is just incredible, and I couldn't be more excited to see so many people that I haven't seen in a while, and a lot of smiling faces and happy people, and I'm happier and happier than I can express.
Longtime supporter of the theater and also one of those credited with the charge to return Steve as executive director, Phil Curtis, was excited for the evening to finally arrive.
It's really amazing to see, you know, it's been a long, hard fight to get back to this, and this night is really something I've dreamed about for a long time, and to finally see it come to fruition is very, very exciting.
Featured entertainment for the evening was Jeff Daniels. WKHM was the only local media to talk with him before he took to the stage. He explained why the Michigan Theater is important to Jackson.
I know we're stuck to our phones a lot, and we think, you know, the earbuds are the greatest listening experience. But when you get people into a building like the Michigan Theater that has a history of decades and decades and decades, of the music and the performances that have bounced off these walls, it's a little bit like a great old vintage guitar. The wood, the grain in the wood will expand over time the more it's played. And it's the same thing with these opera houses, I call them. They're all over the Midwest. And the fact that Phil Curtis and now Steve Tucker, you know, have done so much to restore this thing, to make it better than ever, I think it's the great experience for the audience that if you don't support it, if you don't go to see what they're doing, they won't be here. And I'm happy to support the people that want to keep these things here, keep them alive and vibrant, because, you know, when AI comes, it can't do what happens on this stage in front of an audience. That's a human being doing something that other human beings get to marvel at. And whether it's music or dance or theater, whatever it might be, places like the Michigan Theater are the perfect showcase for what makes us human.
To learn more about upcoming events at the Michigan Theater of Jackson, follow them on Facebook and Instagram and visit michigantheater.org. The former Warren police officer James Burke, who was charged with manslaughter in a high-speed crash that killed two men in 2024, was found not guilty by a jury on all charges. The prosecution said Burke was responding to a flat call without lights or sirens on, going at speeds over 100 miles per hour when he crashed. Two men were killed, Cedric Hayden Jr. and DeJuan Pettis. Michigan News Network's legal analyst Charlie Langton explains the emotion in the courtroom after the verdict.
Listen, the family, they were upset, visibly upset, verbally upset. You could hear that as they were leaving the courtroom. I understand the emotion. They still have a civil case going on, by the way. They hired the Figer Law Firm. And just after this accident, this crash, the Figer firm filed a $100 million lawsuit against the police officer as well as the city of Warren. This verdict will not affect the civil case at all. In fact, a jury in the civil case shouldn't even be told what this verdict was.
We heard from an expert defense witness yesterday that said if the driver in the victim's car, Cedric Hayden Jr., made a proper turn, the crash wouldn't have happened. He's also accused of drunk driving. 58-year-old Adrian Woman is facing a murder charge in connection with the death of a family member who was receiving hospice care. Virginia Landis Stewart was arraigned Thursday on an open murder charge in Lenawee County District Court. Adrian police say Frances Stewart died after her oxygen mask was removed and she was allegedly given an overdose of morphine. Police are called to an Adrian home Monday afternoon on what was initially reported as a civil complaint. Investigators say the death was intentional, leading to Stewart's arrest. A judge set bond at $2 million. Preliminary examination is scheduled for June 25th. The investigation remains ongoing. Well, yesterday, the day before a scheduled ribbon cutting, Governor Gretchen Whitmer is weighing in on yet another delay of the opening of Gordie Howe International.
With a smile on her face, Governor Gretchen Whitmer said she was both surprised and not by this latest delay in the Howe Bridge opening. President Donald Trump, through a White House announcement maintaining the bridge will not open until the U.S. is, quote, fully compensated for perceived trade imbalances with Canada. Previously, the president has expressed an interest in at least a 50% ownership stake of the Howe Bridge, even though it was fully funded by the Canadian government. All of this coming before what was scheduled to be a ribbon-cutting celebration on the Windsor side of the bridge Friday, which is now on hold.
The bridge is done. Michigan is ready to move forward, and we're hoping that we can do that.
John Hewitt for the Michigan News Network.
Also commenting on the status of the Gordie Howe International Bridge is Michigan House Speaker Matt Hall. He says that since the bridge took years longer to complete and cost billions of dollars more than expected, it means Michigan may never own any part of the bridge. That means the terms have changed, and Hall argues Michigan will see less benefits than originally promised.
The amount of money they're going to collect every year will not even cover the operating costs of this bridge, which means we're never going to have ownership of the bridge. We're never going to have revenue from the bridge. That's a bad deal.
Currently, the terms of the opening of the Howe Bridge are under negotiation. Single lane closures on I-94 at US 127 Jackson County will begin this weekend, according to the Michigan Department of Transportation. MDOT says they will begin bridge repairs on westbound I-94 at US 127 Saturday with a scheduled start time of 6 a.m. The department says westbound I-94 will have intermittent single lane closures June 13th through the 16th. And once again, June 27th and 28th, the closure will occur 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekdays and 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. While the work zone is active, motorists are advised to expect delays. MDOT is closing lanes to ensure the safety of workers and drivers. The bridge repair improvements are being made to help extend the life of the bridge and ensure it remains safe for travel. A visual map of the impacted area can be found on MDOT's website or on our story at WKHM.com. A new historical marker is being presented at the Village Hall in Brooklyn on Tuesday. Luke Moorhead with the story.
The Village of Brooklyn is inviting the community to the dedication of a new historical marker at Brooklyn Village Hall. The dedication event is happening at 5:30 p.m. next Tuesday. The new State of Michigan historical marker is replacing a previous marker in the town square that was taken out by a semi-truck crash in April of 2025. The marker highlights Brooklyn's settlement in 1832 when it was first named Swainsville after founder Calvin Swain. Alongside community members, the dedication will be attended by local officials and will also feature remarks from Larry Wagonar, Executive Director and CEO of the Historical Society of Michigan. The new marker is placed outside the front entrance of Village Hall instead of the town square so it can safely be viewed from the sidewalk. Village Hall is located at 121 North Main Street in Brooklyn. I'm Luke Moorhead reporting with WKHM.
American One Credit Union has awarded $13,500 in scholarships and educational grants to students across its five-county service area, including six recipients from Jackson County. Local scholarship winners include Mia Messer of Western High School, Michaela Talbot of Columbia, Tiersten Mathis of Jackson High School, Zachary Hazenzahl of Hanover Horton, and Vincent Houthhoeft of Northwest High School. George Masters of Michigan Center High School received the American One Board of Directors Educational Grant. The annual scholarship program has been funded since 2004 through American One's Skip a Pay program, which allows members to skip a loan payment for a fee that helps support the scholarship fund. Credit union officials say the program is designed to help students and adult learners overcome financial barriers as they pursue college degrees and skilled trades training. The Breakthrough T1D Walk to raise funds in support of those living with type 1 diabetes and their families for the group formerly known as JDRF. That takes place Saturday morning at Ella Sharp Park. Angelica Cummings with Breakthrough T1D talked about the walk's impact, not just financially, but the support that's shown during the event as well.
What makes this walk so special is just that people don't really know about the community that's there for them. And that's what I always hear and my favorite thing to hear about walk. You know, you come, you get to register, you join your team, make your, I always tell my teams to make a fun team name. And mine is Walking with Angels because my name's Angelica. And it's getting to meet those people face to face, getting to see all these people in real life. We always have food trucks and vendors. And then the walk is just, I mean, I love Ella Sharp Park. It's beautiful.
It is.
So.
Yeah.
We'll play music and do our walk, and it's just a, it's a day to celebrate, yeah. It's a day to reflect, and it's a day to not be the outsider.
Those who are still considering making a team for the walk don't have to worry about being too late, as same day registration begins at 9.
Anyone can come to walk. You can even sign up, register at the walk day. I do think it, I always encourage my teams just to register online. It's a very easy process, just because it can get a little bit crowded around the registration table if everyone wants to register that day. But you can, and we will absolutely register you. You can make a team. And in terms of fundraising, you know, that's such a, I get asked that question a lot, and I like to tell people, and this is what works for me is just exactly that. Do what works for you.
Angelica talked about some of the different things that the teams do each year to raise money for type 1 research with no wrong answers for people who are looking to start.
I have the privilege of running our youth ambassador program for Breakthrough T1D. So that's 35 kids. And I have some kids who do, I had a youth ambassador who did like sold flowers around Mother's Day and around Valentine's Day. And then I have some kids do a lemonade stand. Some do car washes. A lot of my teams will do garage sales and donate, you know, their profits. They'll donate to their walk team. Lots of golf outings, like, you know, Dave Ansbaugh, he's wonderful. He's a walk team and he does a golf outing and he even does like a raffle and has people donate items. And it, you know, it's really what matters to you and what feels good to you.
Walk's going to take place tomorrow, Ellis Sharp Park, scheduled start time 10:15. Looking forward to being there to again MC that event once again. And that's at Ellis Sharp Park tomorrow. Fears are being stoked as news of new world screwworms being found in cattle in the U.S. Several cases of the parasitic flies have been identified in Texas and New Mexico, the first since the 1960s. Officials say worries over the impact on beef prices and a widespread infestation are extremely unlikely to happen because of transmission and prognosis for infected animals. Michigan Department of Agriculture and Rural Development Director Tim Boring says being informed can help alleviate some of the stress.
There's a lot of good sources out there, both on our MDARD website, on screwworm.gov, that will demystify a lot of the pieces to this pest. Folks can go in and understand about what that spread looks like, what potential infections might look like on your pets or your livestock.
USDA says this is different from an illness like mad cow disease because herds don't need to be culled and the overwhelming majority of infected animals recover. Euthanasia only happens in extreme cases if it's deemed more humane. House Speaker Matt Hall is addressing a new report detailing food stamp fraud.
The reporting from the Michigan Capital Confidential, who uncovered the state paid more than $4 million in SNAP funding to out-of-state addresses in just the last few years alone. Speaker Matt Hall said they're quick to address it in Lansing.
He had a bill to crack down on that, to monitor that. You believe they're not monitoring that, by the way. You get a bridge card. You file your paperwork to become eligible for food stamps, and you don't live in Michigan, and you do all of your food stamps purchases in other states. And in some cases, they're doing it in that state, too.
And the bill passed the House on Wednesday, currently sits in the state Senate. It would require the health department to monitor out-of-state bridge card use. Meanwhile, the USDA issuing a subpoena to Michigan and three other states while they investigate the alleged fraud. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
FEMA has approved more than 30 $32 million in disaster recovery funding for the Henry Ford Health System.
The agency says the money is intended to help communities recover from recent emergencies while strengthening infrastructure against future disasters. Nearly $33 million will go to Henry Ford Health to offset expenses tied to its COVID-19 response, including staffing, medical equipment, and testing operations. Meanwhile, Emmett County is receiving more than $425,000 for debris cleanup following severe thunderstorms in 2025. FEMA says the grants are part of its public assistance program for state and local governments. Jeremy Jenkins, Michigan News Network.
Mediation in Michigan between the city of Mackinac Island and the owner of the ferry service.
The dispute over rates and fees were headed to court, but this mediation agreement will likely save a lot of time as they need to come to an understanding on transportation services starting in 2027. John Selleck, spokesperson for Fair Access to Mackinac Island, says the ferry services are essential to the island, and it's something you can't replace with a quick alternative.
You have to understand that the ferries are essentially the same as any roadway to any city and town. So if we wanted to get to Detroit and have a great time downtown and watch the Lions or the Tigers or the Red Wings, then we need, you know, the lodge to get there. And the ferries are essentially the lodge freeway to Mackinac Island. There's no way around it.
The battle of who regulates the rates has been a big debate, with the Michigan legislature clearing the path for the island to have the final authority. In a statement, the Hoffman family of companies said their top priority remains delivering safe, reliable, and affordable ferry service for years to come. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
There's a continuing push in Lansing to eliminate the red tape that is currently squeezing local kids out of the lemonade business. Michigan News Network's Dan Jenkins.
During a House Regulatory Reform Committee hearing Thursday, Michigan Children told lawmakers the Presque Isle County Health Department demanded they pay a $57 biannual fee to run a lemonade stand at a farmer's market. In response, State Representative Cam Cavett is pushing House Bill 6007. The legislation officially removes local permit and licensing restrictions for any minor running a lemonade stand that earns less than $5,000 a year. Cavett says local governments need to step out of the way and let kids learn the basics of business without treating them like a commercial food operation. Dan Jenkins for the Michigan News Network.
It's Friday, and it's the 12th day of June, and today we celebrate Loving Day, National Automotive Service Professionals Day, National Jerky Day, National Peanut Butter Cookie Day, National Red Rose Day, it's Superman Day, and it's Women Veterans Day. It's on this date in 1898, Philippine nationalists declared independence from Spain. On this date in 1935, Senator Huey Long of Louisiana made the longest speech on Senate record. The speech took 15 and a half hours and contained 150,000 words. It's on this date in 1963, civil rights leader Medgar Evers was shot and killed in front of his home in Jackson, Mississippi. It was on this date in 1963, Cleopatra premiered in New York City. On this day, 1967, the Supreme Court's Loving versus Virginia decision struck down state laws prohibiting interracial marriages. On this date, 1987, during his visit to the still-divided city of Berlin, President Ronald Reagan publicly demanded that Russian leader Mikhail Gorbachev tear down this wall. It was on this date, 1994, Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman were murdered outside her home in L.A. On this date, 1999, Courtney Cox married David Arquette in San Francisco, California. On this date, 2001, President George W. Bush arrived in Madrid, Spain on his first official trip to Europe. It's on this date in 2003, Gregory Peck died at the age of 87. On this date in 2004, former President George H.W. Bush jumped out of a plane to commemorate his 80th birthday. It was on this date in 2006. Prince received a Webby Lifetime Achievement Award for his visionary use of the internet. He was the first artist to release an entire album digitally, the 1997 effort Crystal Ball. It was on this date in 2016. Hamilton won 11 Tony Awards out of a record 16 nominations. Also on this date in 2016, one of the worst mass shootings in U.S. history occurred when a self-proclaimed terrorist opened fire in Orlando's Pulse nightclub, murdering 49 people and injuring 53 others. And it was on this date in 2018, President Donald Trump and Chairman Kim Jong-un of the State Affairs Commission of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea held a summit in Singapore. Birthdays today include Cody Horn from Magic Mike is 38 today. Dave Franco, 41, actor, Now You See Me, 21 Jump Street, the disaster artist. Adriana Lima, 45, Brazilian model, former Victoria's Secret angel. Lil Duval is a comic, is 49 today. Rick Hoffman from Suits and the Bernie Mac Show is 56 today. Jenna Lee Harrison from Three's Company is 68 today. Timothy Busfield is 69, actor, director, 30-something, The West Wing. Anne Frank would have had a birthday today. She passed away in 1945. George H.W. Bush would have had a birthday today, our 41st president. He passed away in 2018. And Jim Nabors.
Shazam.
Yes, Gomer Pyle would have had a birthday today. He passed away in 2017. Other birthdays today include Chris Young, 41, country singer. Robin is 47 today, singer, Show Me Love. Kenny Wayne Shepherd, blues guitarist, is 49. Grandmaster D is 64 today. John Linnell, 67, accordion player and vocalist. Meredith Brooks, singer, 68 today. She had a pretty iconic song. I can't play it for you. Rocky Burnett, 73, singer. And Junior Brown, country singer and guitarist. Junior Brown is 74 today.
I got a star on my car and one on my chest, a gun on my hip and the right to arrest. I'm the guy who's a boss on this highway, so watch out what you're doing when you're driving my way. If you break the law, you'll hear from me. I know I'm a working for the state. I'm the highway patrol.
Bun E. Carlos, drummer for Cheap Trick. He's 76 today. Pete Farndon, bassist for The Pretenders, would have had a birthday. Passed away in 1983. And Bobby Sheehan from Blues Traveler, bassist, would have had a birthday. Passed away in 1999. For more local stories, breaking news, and interviews with Jackson's newsmakers, visit us online at WKHM.com. I'm Mark Daly.
I'll do my best to keep you driving slow. I'm just doing my job. I'm the highway patrol.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Well, we're going to start off with the Detroit Baseball Tigers themselves. A nice win. A dominating win. And that was a lot of fun to listen to yesterday. Dan Dickerson just does a fabulous call with an emphatic 11-0 win. Not only did they shut out the Minnesota Baseball Twinkies, but they put up 11 runs yesterday. The Tigers have now won three consecutive series for the first time since late August of last season. They'll make it four in a row, or they're going to try to make it four in a row, starting tonight when they open their road series with the Cleveland Don't Call Them the Tribe Guardians. More on that in a second. Right now, let's get you to the highlights from yesterday's contest. We're going to start off. Let's see. Green got a sack fly in the first, made it 1-0. Colt Keith got an RBI single in the fourth, made it 2-0. We're going to stay in the fourth. We're torque. We got a torque bomb. It was a torque bomb sighting of the two-run variety.
Fly ball to left. Deep hooking by the foul pole. Gone! Spencer Torkelson, number 10. Big two-out, two-run home run. 4-0 Tigers in the fourth.
Kleber Torres, he got in on the action in the fifth.
Fly ball to right field. This one's deep. Martin going back to the wall, looking up. Gone! How about that? Gleyber Torres goes opposite field for his fourth home run of the year and a 5-0 lead in the fifth.
The iconic home run call that we have known and have come to love from Dan Dickerson after Colt Keith in the sixth got his first dinger of the year.
Fly ball right center out the bat of Colt Keith. How about watch it fly? Gone! Colt Keith with a huge smile as he rounds second, points to the bullpen, high fives with Joey Cora around third, and touches home plate for his first home run of the year.
Riley Green got a dinger in the seventh. At this point, it's 8-0.
The 0-2, swinging a fly ball left field, going back, Larnick at the fence, jumps up, and gone, a home run. For the second time in the series, Riley Green goes opposite field. Tigers having some fun. Number 8 makes it an 8-0 game in the seventh.
Yeah, the catcher got to pitch for the Twinkies. McKinstry jumped all over that in the eighth with a dinger.
Fly ball to right field. This one's deep. Got a chance. Gone! Zach McKinstry timed up the lob ball. It is second of the year. Everybody's getting in on the fun. 9-0 Tigers.
Wenciel Perez, he got a dinger in the eighth. Again, of the two-run variety.
Fly ball to left off the bat of Perez. Way back and gone.
Same-sided homer for Perez.
That's right.
He goes right on right.
He went right on right because it's like facing a knuckleballer, apparently. Two-run home run for Wenciel Perez. Two home runs off position player Alex Jackson, whose normal profession is catcher.
Yeah, well, it's why catchers don't pinch all the time. They're on the other side of the plate for a reason. And an unusual way to end the game.
The 1-2 challenge by Jake Rogers. It was called the ball. This may end it. On the big board. Game over. Tigers win.
I've never seen an ABS challenge.
To end the game. Bo Brisky works a 1-2-3-9. Tiger bats boom all day long. They score early, they score middle, and they score late. Canner Montero, terrific start, and the Tigers have made it 3 straight series wins. Our final score, the Detroit Tigers take 2 out of 3 from the Minnesota Twins with an 11-0 win.
Feels a little anticlimactic to end it on a challenge, doesn't it? Hey, it's a win, and we'll take it. We'll take 3 series wins in a row for the Detroit Baseball Tigers. Yesterday, around the league, it was the Marlins shutting out the Diamondbacks 2-0. The New York Baseball Metropolitans got a win over the Cards 5-4. Rangers topped the Royals 4-2. It was the Cubbies on top of the Rockies 9-3. Dodgers beat the Pirates 8-6. And the B.O.s got a win over the Mariners 7-5. Tigers and the Cleveland Guardians today. The Tigers are 11-24 on the road. The Guardians are 17-17 at home. The experts who put together the sports books, they're saying the Cleveland Don't Call Them the Tribe Guardians -119. Predictors 60% in favor of the Cleveland Don't Call Them the Tribe Guardians. Probably because Tanner Beebe is on the bump for the Guardians, and he's got an ERA of 4.09. Jack Flaherty, which Jack Flaherty is going to show up tonight? Jack Flaherty will bring his 1-7 record and 5.31 ERA to the bump tonight for the Detroit Baseball Tigers. You can catch it down the hall to the left, Fox Sports 101.9 FM. Dan Dickerson on the call. Great call for the Detroit Baseball Tigers. From the ice of the National Hockey League, Carolina with a 4-2 win last night. Carolina putting together back-to-back wins. First time that's happened in the series. Pulls ahead. They now lead 3-2. Carolina could wrap it up Sunday, 8 o'clock in Las Vegas. If not,
then the series comes back for the decisive Game 7 on Wednesday, 8 o'clock, at Carolina. NBA, they're off today, as the New York Basketball Knickerbockers have a 3-1 lead over the San Antonio Spurs. They're back at it tomorrow, 8:30 for the tip time in the NBA Finals. High school softball. Now, we've got Grass Lake that we're following in Division III. We're going to work our way up to it. Let's start with softball Division I results from the semifinal. Yesterday saw Grand Haven beating Macomb Dakota 8-3. Walled Lake Northern took care of Northville 2-1. So that's a Grand Haven-Walled Lake Northern final tomorrow, 10 a.m., on the campus of Michigan State University. Division II yesterday saw Armada beating Stevensville Lakeshore 4-2. Farmington Hills Mercy got the win of over... I'm sure Denny's going to tell me how to say this later today at Kiwanis. Ojemma? Whatever. 7-1. Farmington Hills wins. So that's an Armada-Farmington Hills final, state final tomorrow, 12:30. On the campus of Michigan State University. Division III, today, it's Everett versus Grass Lake in the state semifinal. Everett has not lost at all this year. They are 41-0. Grass Lake, 34-5. 10 o'clock for the first pitch, 9:45 for the broadcast on Fox Sports 101.9 FM with Connor Dockery on the call. Ravenna takes on New Lothrop today at 12:30. Winners of those two will be facing off Saturday, 3 o'clock, on the campus of MSU in the softball state final. Division 4 has Hillman taking on Mendon today at 3 o'clock on the campus of MSU. Brown City faces Fowler today at 5:30, and that state final is tomorrow, 5:30, on the campus of MSU. Baseball, we've got a semifinal happening today. Division I baseball, Mattawan takes on Detroit Catholic Central at 2:30. 5 o'clock, Rochester Adams takes on Brownstown Woodhaven at 5 o'clock. Division I state final is tomorrow, 5 o'clock, on the campus of MSU. Division II baseball, they had their semifinals yesterday. Grand Rapids, Kenawha Hills took care of Vicksburg 9-6. Orchard Lake St. Mary's shut out Dearborn Divine Child 8-0. So you have that Grand Rapids, Kenawha, and Orchard Lake St. Mary's. That's going to be tomorrow, 9 a.m. in Division 2. Division 3 yesterday was Kalamazoo Christian beat Detroit Edison 6-5. Traverse City St. Francis all over Rochester Hills Lutheran North 13-3. So a KZU Christian, Traverse City St. Francis state final tomorrow at 11:30 in D2. Division 3. Mm-hmm. Now we're on to Division 4, where today you've got Royal Oak Shrine Catholic versus Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart at 9 o'clock, campus of MSU. Marcellus versus Painesdale Jeffers at 11:30 today in D4, and the D4 state final tomorrow at 2:30. It's a look at your sports. You know what? The soccer state final, let's do this real quick. Soccer state final, D1, Troy and Rockford, that's at 4 o'clock. Soccer state final tomorrow, Bloomfield Hills Marion versus Hudsonville Unity Christian, that's at 4 o'clock. State final soccer in Division 3 is tomorrow, Detroit Country Day versus Grand Rapids West Catholic. And the D4 state final is today, Royal Oak Shrine Catholic versus Harbor Springs. That's your sports, 653 and a half, Kettlebell Hotspot.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
Yes. The CNB studio in our world headquarters at the end of Glenshire Drive in Summit Township. And we make our way to our newsmaker line. We welcome back to the program Representative Kathy Schmaltz. Representative, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm so far so good. Still Still kind of coming off of that high from last night. I was talking with my wife on the way home, and I was like, yeah, I'm not going to bed anytime soon. I'm so wired after last night.
Oh, that was so much fun.
That was a great night at the Michigan Theater, and nice to be able to recognize Steve, and nice to be able to have great entertainment. Jeff Daniels just does a fabulous one-man show. That was outstanding last night, Kathy.
Yes, I've seen his show quite a few times, and he's got a lot more songs, too. He's a great songwriter. I don't think a lot of people know that. But yes, he's really funny. He's a great singer, good guitar player, and it was so much fun, and it was so nice for him to come over and just help us celebrate the return of Steve. And boy, talk about you not coming down. I don't think Steve's going to come down for months, you know. He was so happy last night, and the theater was packed with people, and we thank the community so much for supporting Steve and the theater. And everything is just getting better and better over there now.
I've been to a few. I've been to several events at the theater, and I've seen it pretty full, but I've never seen it that full. Never. And I've never seen people lining up to get into the theater down Mechanic and around the block, halfway down Pearl. You know, they were lined up almost to Nightlight. It was just crazy how busy and how full that theater was.
I know, and how quickly. I mean, I think the doors opened at 4, and I was coming back from Lansing. Mm-hmm. I had some TV stations call and say, I think is that party tonight? Because people are lined up all over. And yeah. I said, yeah, it is tonight. And everyone was just so excited to get in there. And, you know, that popcorn was flowing. And it was just, everyone was so happy. And it was great to see Jeff, of course, and his wife, Kathleen. Haven't seen him in a while. So it was really great, too. Visit with everybody and just see the community so happy. It was just a fun, happy event.
So you said you've seen Jeff Daniels perform that one-man show a few times, right?
Right, right.
How many times has he done an encore?
I don't even remember. I know he's played it at the Michigan Theater a few times in the past. But I know it was so funny because, of course, Mark was MC, and so he gets up there, and Jeff was Don, and everybody wouldn't sit down, and then Mark says, well, you don't want to hear me sing, you know, and then Jeff came. I think that would have been amusing, though, Mark, to watch you sing. But then Jeff came out to do one more song. But he's great. He loves the theaters. He is for Pharos Theater. And I helped them with fundraisers for a long time. And it's really important, and I feel the same way, the arts and theaters and making sure our theaters stay healthy. And, real community treasures. So he is always willing to come and help us with that.
Yeah, it was a great night. Glad I was able to be a part of it. Glad I was able to witness it. And just looking forward to what the theater is going to have moving forward. It feels like, yes, with everything that happened over the last few months. But, I mean, let's just pretend that didn't happen. I feel like we have more momentum than we've ever had before moving forward.
No,
and that's a great thing. We wouldn't have had this momentum if some of that stuff didn't happen, I don't think. So we've got this great momentum, and we've got just a great feeling and support for the theater right now. It's fabulous.
You know what I think is everybody loved the theater, knew it was a treasure. Right. We had a great capital campaign. But when you see somebody attacking one of our treasures in the community, everybody just rallied and said, no, you're not doing this. This is our theater, and we're going to make sure that Steve stays and that we keep it going in the right direction. And so I just applaud everybody. There was, two of us on the board who tried to stop all this, and they did it behind our backs. And just seeing the community come together, and, of course, Phil Curtis, Martha Firstenal, and, just a bunch of us who got together, you and I, holding that special meeting and just getting everyone together to get this straightened out. And I just applaud the whole community for that.
Yeah, no more drama. It's just going to be the theater that we deserve moving forward, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. And I'm so glad you're involved now.
Yeah. Well, I've enjoyed the experience so far. It's been work, but I've enjoyed the experience so far.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Well, Kathy, let's talk about what it is you're here to talk about with us this morning. There's been a lot of things happening in Lansing this week. It feels like it was a busy week in Lansing, Kathy.
Yes, we've been really busy, even though, you know, budget negotiations continue on. Hopefully that will move forward soon. But, yeah, we got quite a bit done. I testified a lot this week, too.
Well, we'll talk about that in a second, but let's talk about medical debt first. What happened with medical debt this week?
Yeah, that's a big issue. The Senate has some bills, and we in the House came up with some of our own bills. So, as we know, medical debt's a big problem. A lot of people facing it. Healthcare is expensive. We need to help people focus on their health, getting better, not on how they're going to pay their bills. So I introduced legislation to ensure more transparency, fairness, and protection for patients. Under the plan, hospitals would have to offer financial assistance plans to help patients who can't afford care. So the plan would be based on income and financial need. Programs would be standardized how hospitals help low-income and uninsured patients. Hospitals would have to let patients know all financial assistance options before bills are sent to any collection agencies. Besides offering financial assistance plans, the legislation also prohibits medical debt from being reported to credit agencies. We don't want medical debt to hurt your financial future by damaging your credit score. We see that a lot. A medical emergency shouldn't ruin your credit. This protects your credit standing. So that's really important. And also with accountability and transparency, hospitals will also have to submit reports to the state all data on their financial assistance programs, ensuring that we know what's going on and how many deaths they've collected and what's outstanding.
All right. So it's been an issue. And like you said, we don't want people to have to struggle with this debt, especially if it's something that happened that's been outside of their control.
Right. I mean, how many times do, serious illness come up and all of a sudden you find yourself with these massive bills and nobody helps you try and pay them. And it's just not right. And you're trying to get better yourself from the illness. So we need to protect people.
Yeah. Also, sounds like you mentioned testimony earlier. Sounds like you had quite a few individuals from Jackson area schools testifying this past week.
Yes, this was on my dyslexia package that I've been working on for a while. We've talked about it for a while. We're a step closer to making sure that our kids who have dyslexia get the help they need to learn to read in school. We already passed out of the House this week our science of reading bills. We've talked about that before. Teachers have been asked for this training. It's back to basics, phonics, letters, sounds. This will help most our students. But our dyslexic kids, they need a little bit more. They need what's called Orton-Gillingham. So someone who has dyslexia will look at words and letters, and they don't see the same thing we see. They process differently. Orton-Gillingham is a multi-sensory teaching method. Seeing, hearing, touching, movement, tracing words like on sand trays, memorization. This is how they connect letters, words, and sounds. My bill would make sure that an existing teacher in each school district is trained in Orton-Gillingham to teach dyslexics in schools. We have laws to test students for dyslexia, but we don't have a lot of trained teachers to teach them in schools, and my bill will make sure that that happens. As you know, 15 to 20% of the population is dyslexic. That's one in every five people.
Wow.
And it's hereditary. My youngest brother's dyslexic, his son's dyslexic. So we had great teachers come in, as you said. Kristen Joseph, learning special ed at Northwest Early Elementary School. She came in to testify. She told a story where she had a dyslexic child come up and she did not know how to teach this child. So she had to actually search out the training, Orton-Gillingham, to make sure that this child learned. And then Concord High School Principal Jill Snyder and Dr. Rebecca Hutchinson, Concord Superintendent, also testified. Now, Concord is really interesting because they're already putting Orton-Gillingham in their reading instruction. So they talked about how it helped all their students. Dr. Hutchinson has a dyslexic child, and she talked about the struggles her son faced before Orton-Gillingham. So this is really important. Nobody realizes how many students and people in this world have dyslexia. And these are people, we're talking Walt Disney, Leonardo da Vinci, Henry Ford. Then we can go to other stars, Keanu Reeves, Jennifer Aniston. I mean, there's so many people who have this, and they're very intelligent, smart, creative people. They just process differently. So we've known Orton-Gillingham method since the 1930s by two scientists, psychologist who came up with this method. We need to start implementing it in schools. And then my next step would be to try and get this, when teachers are going through their certification, that they get some training in Orton-Gillingham.
Okay. Now, with this, with the testimony happening here this week, where are the package of bills? Where are those right now in the process? And what's like their future going to look like, Kathy?
So we testified in the Education Committee, mm-hmm. and it was passed out the same day. Okay. So hopefully it will get to the floor soon, pass out of there, and then we'll send it to the Senate. Our main thing with all of this is to teach our kids to read. Mm-hmm. We talk about it all the time. 44th in the nation, our kids aren't learning to read. Teachers are asking for help. Let's teach all of our kids how to read, including our dyslexic kids.
Now, with this package of bills, are these items that are requiring funding from the budget and is to kind of depend on decisions are made on the budget here before July 1st as to whether or not that's going to impact this package of bills, or are they two different things?
So for my bill specifically, it's only about $1.5 million to teach teachers. It would be an existing teacher, just 30 hours to start off, okay. and then 10 hours updated every year. There's money in the literacy budget for that. There is money in the literacy budget for all of these trainings and science of reading bills. So that's all taken care of.
Gotcha. Okay. You also had your scissors in Lansing with you this week to cut some of that red tape. Tell us about that.
That's right. We love to do that because we want to make it easier for businesses. This had to do with the permitting process. We had a lot of bills about that. For builders, employers, families, it can be a nightmare when they go through permitting processes, delays, rising costs. My bill is part of this package to make it easier to build, remodel homes in Michigan. This will help with housing development and housing shortages by making it easier to build and move projects forward. The government shouldn't be standing in the way, making it harder to build a home, open a business, invest in a building project. This says clear timelines would be established. So LARA, Department of Licensing and Regulatory Affairs, has to act on these permits in a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. It would have to provide timely notification. If an application is incomplete, let the person know. Provide detailed explanations when permits are denied. Create a process to modify the permits without forcing people to reapply, and reimburse them if the department misses deadlines. We want to make the permitting process easier, hold the department accountable for unnecessary delays, unneeded paperwork, and make sure everything is approved quicker so projects can move forward. So this is a great package.
We had conversations earlier this week with Representative Leitner, and we talked about legislation moving through Lansing, moving through the House, about harassing first responders. And you watch one video on Facebook and Reels, and they automatically start feeding you others. And I went down a rabbit hole one day where people were trying to play gotcha with police officers, whether they're responding at a scene or just on a sidewalk or whatever. And I just absolutely detest those videos. I can't stand those videos when they're trying to play gotcha. And I like and I appreciate what's happening with this package of bills that are moving through Lansing right now. Can you share with our audience what's going on?
You know, I have so much respect for all of our first responders and law enforcement, and I feel the same way you do. You know, why? Why are you doing this? It just makes no sense to me. So this bill is referred to as the HALO law. When there's an emergency situation and first responders are there on the scene to help, we want to make sure they can do their jobs without being distracted or harassed. Sometimes first responders are put in danger along with people they're trying to help when bad actors try to harass or interfere with them doing their jobs. And they continue interfering even after being told to stay away. These bills make it a crime for approaching or harassing police, firefighters, EMT, and other first responders when trying to do their jobs after they've been warned. So a person would be guilty after told to stay back and they don't stay 25 feet away from first responders. If they impede first responders' ability to do their job, threaten them with physical harm, or harass them. Now, you can still record everything that's happening. There will be transparency. You can ask questions, but you just can't interfere. And then there are penalties for these violators. first 60 days in jail, $500 fine, and then if there's any really personal harm or death involved, then the penalties go up.
So we'll continue to follow that. Where's that at in the process right now?
That was just passed on the House floor by partisan support.
All right, so it heads over to the Senate where it feels like it's going to sit for a hot minute.
Well, you know, I'm an optimist.
Okay.
Even though I have quite a few bills sitting over there, we are working along with the budget, trying to come up with some deals so that we can get some of these bills both passed in the Senate of our bills and in the House their bills. So we're working on it.
All right. Well, we'll continue to follow that as well. Well, they say the same thing. They feel like there's stuff that's been sent over to the House that's just kind of sitting there, too. So we'll continue to follow.
Well, you know, during budget talks, too, it takes a while to get those through.
For sure. All right. The other thing of importance that's on our mind here today, Kathy, where were these Tigers in May?
They just needed June. They took May off. They just needed June to start.
Yeah.
I mean, boy, they've really been hitting up a story. What a great game yesterday. 11-0 Twins. It's wonderful. Cleveland tonight. That'll be interesting.
That's a big series. Cleveland, second. They're a half game back behind the White Sox. But the Tigers, 8 games back right now. When, you know, you're looking at 11.5 games back about a week and a half ago. Now you're 8 games back, just slowly just kind of chipping away at it. But, Kathy, what type of weird, bizarre world are we living in when the White Sox are the best team in the AL Central? What's going on, Kathy?
Yeah, you know, our division is very interesting, isn't it? I mean, every year we find ourselves with an interesting division. But thank goodness we're only 8 back right now. And we're not last. We are not last today. So that's nice. But hopefully they can do well against Cleveland, and we'll keep June going the way it is. It's just so, you know, that one game where they won it in the ninth, they needed that so bad.
Right.
I mean, they just needed that comeback to show that these are the old Tigers we know, and, you know, they're going to keep going.
We're seeing complete games where, you know, defense is on point, pitching's on point, and the offense is on fire, so it's they're putting together some good games right now. They've got the momentum.
I think they feed off of each other. You know,
yeah.
A couple start doing good, the other ones start doing. Yeah, it's great.
For sure. You know, we didn't talk about this before we started, but do we have an update on Grand Slam for Kids?
Yes, we're working on it right now to get sponsors. If anybody's interested, this is Mark has helped me with this event before. Is July 26th, I believe, this year. And this is where we take 4 busloads of at-risk kids from Big Brothers, Save Our Youth, Interfaith Shelter. We bus them down and their mentors to Comerica Park for a Tiger game. We've done it. Gosh, what has it been, 15 years we've been doing this?
Well,
but it's so wonderful to watch the kids. They have such a great time.
If you count Slam Dunk for Kids, too, it's been going on even longer.
Right,
because
we started with the Pistons for the first few years, and it's such a wonderful event, and these are kids that have never been out of the area, and they see the big Tiger on 94, and they see the big buildings, and they're just so excited, and we get them a giveaway, you know, from the Tigers, but they're in the lower deck, so they do, you know, they can do carousel rides, face painting, anything they want there, and they have such a wonderful time, and they try to get paused over there to say hi to them, which is always a plus.
Right.
And it's if their eyes just light up, and it's just wonderful to see them experience something like this.
For sure. And if anybody listening wants to donate or wants to, you know, their business to be a sponsor of, you're asking them to get a hold of Tony at Big Brothers Big Sisters?
The checks can be sent to Tony Marked for the Grand Slam for Kids. And yes, we usually have a lot of good businesses step up for this because I want to put the kids in the lower deck because I don't trust anybody in the upper deck, and I want them to be close to the food and all the activities, and every agency is in charge of their kids, so we make sure that everyone is safe. But yes, we really need sponsors since we pay for all the tickets ourselves and I don't get them donated. No, anyone would be. It would be wonderful for anyone to step up to help us.
It's still out in K-Line's corner, right?
Right.
Yeah.
We sit in K-Line's corner now, so they can see the scoreboard and a good view of the field, and they're close to everything.
Well, you got to educate those kids. You can't ever say to a baseball fan Al Kaline's name and not have them say who. So everybody has to know who Al Kaline is. So, all right.
Every one of his baseball cards every year.
Oh, you do? Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Matter of fact, that's Jeff Daniels' favorite, too.
So, yeah. Well, you're set to retire, Kathy.
Oh, yeah. I remember Al said to me one time, I said, do you know how expensive your rookie card is? He said, just wait till I die. They was due, so I said, what are you talking about? But yeah, he was so fun.
Oh,
just a very nice man, and I knew his son very well, too.
Yeah.
He was great.
Well, Kathy, as always, we appreciate the visit. We thank you for the time. Have a wonderful weekend. I know you're going to be busy, and we'll talk again next week, okay?
Yes, take care, Mark.
Thank you. Kathy Schmaltz, Representative Kathy Schmaltz, joining us on AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
At 8:36, let's see what's happening outside weather-wise. Your forecast from WKHM.com/weather this morning. As we're looking at, you know, little windy for us today and tomorrow. Sunny skies and 79 degrees. Clear skies for tonight, about 59 for the low. Wind just over 20 miles per hour overnight. And then Saturday, 84 degrees under sunny skies. No, wait, I'm sorry. Because the 2 degrees makes a difference. Because you round it up, it's closer to 90. 86 degrees for the high on Saturday. Saturday night, showers, thunderstorms at 70%. 61 for the low. Sunday could see some showers and thunderstorms to start the day. Partly sunny later on, and a high of 73 on Sunday. We're at 64 outside right now. That's your weather forecast on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. To our newsmaker line we go, and we welcome back to the program Tom Knudsen with today's Knudsen's Outdoor Report. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you doing today?
Man, I'm doing well. I'm doing so well, and here we are on the edge of a free fishing weekend. I've already been fishing, though, Tom. I got my license in person at Knudsen's a while ago, so I've already been fishing. But this is a good weekend for those who just kind of want to dip their toe in it, right?
Well, it is, but what it really is, we actually sell more licenses this weekend probably than any other weekend during the summer, believe it or not. It's one of them deals where the state does that, but then people come out to go fishing, it gets them to go fishing, and then they think, well, I'm going to go fishing and multiple times this year, so I'm just going to get my license. It's just a friendly reminder type situation, and yeah, it kind of works because you sell a lot of licenses, and many other states do the same thing nowadays for the same reason. They realize that, okay, we get it out there. We get a lot of advertising. This is a good weekend to go fishing. And,
right.
Good time to get your license.
So is it fair to characterize this weekend as like the first weekend where a lot of people are getting out on the water for the first time fishing or shoreline fishing?
Well, I don't know about the first time, but, they kind of put it right in the middle of the bluegill spawn.
Okay.
The panfish spawn. So right. That kind of helps. That always kind of helps because when you go fishing this week, when it's free fishing weekend, you're usually going to be able to catch fish.
Oh yeah.
And that's why I think they do it. As well, get people going and interested, and you you can catch fish, and you can catch fish close to shore.
Yeah, for sure. So if you have someone coming in, it's taking advantage of free fishing weekend, let's just assume this is their first time hitting the water, what are you setting them up with, Tom?
Oh, for sure. Bobbers, hooks, and sinkers. It's simple.
There you go.
This is as simple and as cheap a fishing as you can do right now with the spawn. Those bluegills are tight to the shores, in their bedding grounds. Dock fishing is at its peak right now, for sure.
Oh yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Was out, I've been out a handful of times already, and just on my dock last weekend, Tom, it's like I couldn't keep the bobber in the water. As soon as it was hit, it was going under, and many times there were bass even coming up and hitting the bobber, Tom. I mean, that was
absolutely time of year.
Yeah, it was, and I took that pink lady, that's what I call them. It's got that pink head with the white feathers on it, that white skirt. So I took that pink lady, put just a little chunk of red meat on it, And I mean, they just devoured it, whether it was a crappie or a bluegill or whatever. They were just devouring it last week.
Well, awesome. Awesome. Yep. Perfect time of year. Mm-hmm. Great, great week. Great. You know, this is a month for the great family fish fry, if you ask me. You know,
oh, yeah.
You don't have, you know, if you want to have a fish fry, go out there, catch some fish, and you know, feed the family.
Right. Now, I don't want anybody to jinx themselves, okay? So when you go get your gear at Knudsen's, don't get the batter, because you can buy that at Knudsen's first. Don't get that batter. You make that second trip back after you have your basket full of fish and get the batter, right? And get more bait.
Oh, yeah, but they buy it ahead of time because they know they're
going to get it. Don't jinx yourself. But, yeah, get them, because that's one of the things we don't ever really talk about. But you've got a nice little section there that has seasonings, that has batter, have things to do stuff over the open fire, on the grill, on the Blackstone, or whatever. You've got a little section right there to help people prepare their meal, too, Tom.
We surely do, Mark. Yeah, we have a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to prepare the meal, you know, and try to make it the best possible. You know, for you know, anybody who, you know, who goes out and wants to feed the family yeah. off the land or water. You know, it's amazing how many people do that, and you know, use the land to feed themselves and, you know, gather their protein.
Well, and few things on the planet are better than just getting it right out of the lake and putting it on your plate without it ever hitting the freezer. You're not going to beat it.
I was lucky enough to have we have a customer who is always, I don't know, for the last 15 years, that when he gets his fish, he has a special recipe and he fries them up, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, magically, a bag of fish always shows up. It shows up every about 6 weeks. A bag yeah. of fish shows up, pre-cooked and ready to go. And it doesn't last long. When it gets to the store and everybody sees it, we all got our hands in it. It doesn't take yeah. long for that little snack to, you know, to go away. Because yeah, you know, it is great to be able to do that, for yeah. sure.
Is every place equally, and here in Jackson County, is every place equally as hot right now, or is there one place that's a little bit hotter than another? Or
just, no, I mean, think everything should be, we, you know, no matter the lake, if it's mm-hmm. got fish, this is going to be your best right okay. now.
All right, so yep. get out there. And, yep.
No doubt about it. We probably got, you know, it's a little early this year, but we probably got another two and a half weeks of where, right. you know, it's almost, you know, fail proof.
And I love it, Tom, because I like to use an ultralight, because I like to feel like I've got a good fight on my hands, even if it's a little tiny one. But I love it when I get a smallie or a largemouth bass that decides it wants to hit that pink lady. That is a lot of fun on my ultralight. It just is. I dig it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You get a nice little 3-pound fish on an ultralight combo,
uh-huh.
man, that's a lot of fun, yeah. for sure. You know, they'll get that little reel screaming, and makes it very enjoyable, and just makes you want to giggle.
It is. It's a lot of fun. All right, so make sure that you guys stop on by Knudsen's, Wamplers Lake Road in beautiful Brooklyn. Get all geared up. Get the bait that you need. And, Tom, you're out delivering today, so if you don't drive all the way into Knudsen's, if you hit like a Kelly Express Mart or some of the other places in and around Jackson, you're going to be able to find that yellow logo and get high quality bait.
Absolutely. Tapio's got the Jackson area. I got Lake Erie.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go there. What's happening in Lake Erie right now? Is it pretty hot out in Lake Erie?
It's been pretty decent every time I've been down there and delivered bait. Actually, the amount of bait I'm delivering this week is very similar to the last couple weeks, so okay. I'd say things haven't slowed up much, but we've got the one issue that will kind of always does a little slow up is the fish fly, the mayfly hatch is
okay.
starting to happen down there, so we'll have to deal with that, and I think the people say that the fish will grow an inch and a half this month because of the mayfly hatch, so.
You know, we see those a little bit here. I'll pick like one or two up off of my door, but you don't see it like you do near the Great Lakes.
No, not like what you do in Lake Erie, right around the shores of Lake Erie. Last week, yeah. I went into a shop and it's like, oh, they're hatching, because it was just thousands upon thousands.
Yeah,
and I looked up and sure enough, there was a light. So you know, they came out the night before and did their thing, and you know. did what they do. They live 24 hours and they're done.
Right. Yeah. So out on Lake Erie, what are you taking? Crawlers out there? You taking minnows out there? I'm assuming it's walleye
running.
Right now.
A lot of guys are running harnesses and bottom bouncers.
Okay. All right. How far away are we from perch on Lake Erie, Tom?
Oh, we're
away.
Yeah, we'll start talking about that in August. Yep.
August. Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying that guys aren't catching one here and there.
Yeah.
I've heard guys, catching 12-inch fish, but nobody's catching, a limit of them at this
right,
point.
Right. It's a nice little oops fish, though, if you come across it.
Yep,
it's
absolutely. Nice bonus fish.
Right. For
especially
sure.
When they're that size.
Yeah. Anything on the west side of the state? How are things going?
Starting to see a little bit of activity on the lake side of it. Nothing gigantic, but they are catching fish.
All right, very good. Boating season too, Tom. We talked about windy conditions, but I mean, if you get the tie outs that you need to, you don't have to worry about your boat going anywhere.
Absolutely, absolutely. We got lucky again with the storms; weren't really that bad last night, so. Everybody should be pretty good this morning.
All right. So get everything you need for boating season, from floats to life jackets, too. We can't emphasize the importance of life jackets because your kids grow from one year to the next.
Absolutely.
Got to make sure it fits, Tom.
Absolutely. And we got plenty of those, and we got plenty of pet ones, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. And even if you're confident that your dog can swim, if it gets in the water, it's got that handle right up on top and easy to pluck them out with.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. What else, Tom? What else do we need to hit on here today that we didn't talk about?
Well, I think we've covered most everything. We're in the heart of the beginning of spring or beginning of summer. Mm-hmm. We still got 10 days before we get the most dreaded. I call that the most dreaded day of the year. Because it only goes downhill from there as far as light. But we got 10 more days of gaining light, and then 20 days from now, we'll be at the same light level as we are today. So
yeah, I look at the sun.
It is what it is.
I look at the sunrise, sunset every day, and we talk about it every day here on AM Jackson. And we're kind of stuck at 6 a.m. for like the next 10 days for the sunrise. But that sunset still gets a little bit longer by a minute here, a minute there for the next few days. But then, I look at it because you can see it for the rest of the month. And dreading that part where it does start to get short.
Yeah. And it's, it feels like you get ripped off. That's the part. It's like, we just got it. Now it's finally warm. And now it's going backwards.
Yeah. Well, we still got, we haven't even hit summer yet. Yeah, the days are going to be getting shorter, but
we haven't even hit summer. If you think about where we were last year at this time for temperatures, we were still on the cool side. The corn and that stuff was very small, just starting to break through because we were way behind. Compared to last year, we're way ahead in heat. So it's going to be, it's going to be a wonderful summer.
And we're okay on water levels too. I mean, we haven't had a tremendous amount of rain, but it's not like we've been super dry either.
Yeah. You know? We could use some more. I mean, it seems like all that rain that everybody around us is getting rain, but we seem to be not getting it. So, I'm a little, the farmers could use a little more. I bet if you talk to a farmer right now, he could use 1 or 2 inches right now.
I talk to Mike Gwynn every once in a while. He could use some rain. What was it? One day earlier this week, I was driving home and I almost had to pull over because it was just a downpour, so hard to see. And I wasn't too far from home. 10 minutes later, I'm just down the road from my house. The pavement's dry. They didn't see a drop. But that's how drastic it is. But and they just miss a lot of different parts here in the Jackson area.
Yeah, we didn't get it south. Mm-hmm. I mean, then that stuff last night, Brooklyn was much wetter than Napoleon was this morning.
It's crazy how small those systems are that are rolling through.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, Tom. Hey, we as always, we appreciate our visit. We thank you for the time, and we look forward to having the conversation again next week. Getting ready for Father's Day, Tom.
It'll be Father's Day next week, absolutely.
Well, and that's it. Make sure you take care of Dad this week. Get him what he needs. Get him what he wants, and get over to Knudsen's. Pick that up this week so you have it in time for Father's Day next week, right? All right, Tom. We'll talk with you again soon. Have a good one.
You too, Mark. Have a great day.
It's Tom Knudsen joining us with the Knudsen's Outdoor Report. Beautiful Wamplers Lake, on Wampler's Lake Road in beautiful Brooklyn. You're listening to AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
934 here at AM Jackson, and it's a pleasure to have joining us here once again, Congressman Tim Walberg this Friday. Congressman, good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning. Glad to hear you have power. I know some of my district is still without power from the storms yesterday,
yeah.
and hopefully that will be taken care of soon by consumers and other entities.
Well, Tom and I from Knudsen's, we were just talking about this. It didn't feel like Jackson got hit all that hard for the last couple days. We kind of need the rain in some areas, but yeah, you look at that outage map and it's like it hit hit everywhere except for Jackson County last night.
You were fortunate. I know.
Yeah.
Talking with Ken Delaney down in Coldwater this morning, they still had some significant outages. Wow. And sadly one death as a result of a tree going down.
Oh, man.
Auto driver coming and not seeing it and smashing into it and losing his life. And so those are the things that happen all of a sudden in our lives. We don't know. And when you're dealing with nature, anything can happen. But hope things get back to normal here soon. And, yes, we do need rain.
Yes, for sure. For sure. Well, Congressman, there's been some activity in your Education and Workforce Committee. You had some hearings this week.
We did. I mean, we have all sorts of hearings dealing with the education and workforce area. But this week was a hearing that we've been arranging for a couple months to have three high-profile school superintendents in front of us because of them doing just a terrible job. And I know some of your listeners may disagree, but I don't think parents should be cut out of knowing what's going on in their children's lives. If their child wants to change their pronouns or wants to transgender, I think parents should not be kept out of it. I don't think that girls ought to worry about boys coming into their bathrooms and locker spaces. I don't think that young kids ought to be encouraged to transition. If adults want to do that, I guess if you can't decide that you're a male or a female at some point in time in your life as an adult, well, I guess have at it. Science says otherwise. But kids, to mutilate their bodies or to even inculcate ideas into their minds in our educational spaces, it's just wrong. And as I said in my introductory statements as chairman of the committee, before we had the testimony of the three superintendents from Chicago, San Francisco, and Loudoun County here in Virginia, I said what you're allowing to take place in my mind mounts up to child abuse or neglect. And I stand with that statement. So we had them speak, and it was as if we heard the old story, emperor has no clothes. And that's how they were, continuing to spin and not answer the questions, direct questions. You know, one of mine was to the superintendent of San Francisco schools, when is it appropriate, what grade is it appropriate to have these child events known as drag queen concerts and reading sessions. She couldn't answer that. Another question was asked of the Loudoun school superintendent, Loudoun County school superintendent. When is it appropriate to have boys sleeping in girls' beds on a field trip? The answer was just absolutely unbelievable. It comes with the decision and the person. I mean, come on. Yeah. It's never appropriate for my daughter, if it was my daughter or my granddaughter, to have a boy assigned to the same room on a field trip as my granddaughter. Mm-hmm. It's just not appropriate. And so those are the things that we're asking, plus is it appropriate to lie to parents about what their kids are doing? And so those were things we were looking at when our NAEP test scores have gone down and we're not keeping up with the reading and math and science needs of this country and our school systems, to have these type of things proffered to our young people, it's just wrong. So It was quite a hearing that went on there, and I hope it produced at least enough controversy that, along with what parents saw during COVID going on in the classrooms around this country, they also now saw these superintendents, three of the larger school districts in the nation, and well-funded school districts in the nation, doing things that definitely move away from science, move away from fact and reality, and move away from good education.
I have such a hard time with the common sense on this issue, and I don't care wherever people land on LGBTQ issues, wherever you land on transitioning, I don't care where you land on that as an adult. But when it comes to the kids, parents need to be able to make that decision about their kids. It should. I don't understand why people want to take that control away from those who are responsible for their children. I don't get it. I don't. Wherever you land on that issue, I just cannot understand why you want to take that control away from parents. I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, if as an adult you want to do something that goes against science, male, female, that's it. Nature. I mean, we look at the animal nature. There are male and female, and they accept that fact and how they respond to each other. In our humankind, it ought to be the same way. But if an adult, you didn't get the counseling necessary, you weren't affirmed to be who you were born to be, well, okay, make your decisions. Go against science, go against common sense and reality. Don't get the counseling that's needed. But for kids, to mutilate their bodies or their minds or to give them chemicals before they truly have a chance to grow to the point that they can make those decisions themselves, it's just wrong, even if a parent does it. But when you lock parents out of even knowing that their children are expressing these concerns, and you don't bring them into the mix and say, what do we want to do, parent? What counseling do you think is needed here? You know, Mark, we talk about the increase in suicides amongst our young people. Well, when kids have no foundational pushback, where they can push against structure that's firm, no wonder we're seeing the suicides mount up and the emotional distress and the depression that comes out. You don't deal with life unless you have structures that give you a solid, at least something solid to push back against. But if you don't have those, wow, we've got problems. So I think these are issues that we have to face. And it isn't religious alone issues. We're talking about science, and Dr. Fauci historically told us to follow the science, and science says that there's a DNA, there are X's and Y's, and they don't change, and that means there are male and female. There is dysphoria and other things that go on, but let's counsel those, and let's do the mental health care that's necessary. Let's affirm children for who they are and let them grow into becoming the people that they can only be if they are affirmed in who they are, and then develop that. So I think our educational system is broken in many places, and this is one of those. And it was sad that we had to bring these. One of the superintendents was unwilling to come. Initially, Chicago Public School System said there was a scheduling problem. We gave them 6, 7, 8 different dates, and none of them worked. And finally, we had to subpoena her to come in. So certainly a hostile witness, the same with the other two superintendents. I think I can only say for San Francisco that when they go to the parents of students in San Francisco, probably they have more parents that accept these alternate lifestyle things than you would find in certainly in Jackson, Michigan. But it was still disheartening to see how parents were disregarded in their responsibility and priority as being the ultimate authority and responsible agent for those children. And teachers were put in a supplemental role to assist parents in the educational aspects of their lives.
Congressman Tim Walberg joining us here on AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. I don't remember us talking too much in the past about the No Aid for Ghost Students Act. Tell us about this and how it's been talked about in your committee.
Great bill. It's one of 10 bills that we put forward dealing with fraud, waste, and abuse in the educational space, including child care. That first came out under some DOGE efforts, but then also Mr. Shirley, the reporter, independent reporter that found huge fraud in child care funding that was going on in Minneapolis. That brought to attention other things that we as members of Congress and our committee specifically stepped up and began doing research to find out what was happening. And what we found in child care, billions of dollars of fraudulent dollars put out for alleged child care in educational settings that were going to people who didn't provide any child care services at all, and buildings were actually dark that were supposed to be child care centers. So we had 8 bills that dealt with that last week that was passed out of the U.S. House. And the final 2 bills dealt with fraudulent applications and reception of funding, including Pell Grants, in higher education space by alleged students with identification that was put forward. What we found out, that a lot of this was going by bots, orchestrated by even foreign actors who would put in and would take those grant dollars, whether a Pell Grant or otherwise, and grab them, take them back, and overseas and in other places, not going to students at all. And again, billions of dollars of wasted student aid that should be there for actual live American students, and protection of the taxpayer of funding being abused. We found out that we can deal with that through our FAFSA program that students will fill out with their parents to find out what type of federal funding can come to them, scholarships, Pell Grants, et cetera. Mm-hmm. With what Secretary McMahon has done in making the FAFSA system work now, to the point that in the past, it might take months for you to hear response back on your application. We've got it down now to weeks at the most, days at the most. In most cases, it's instantaneous. As you fill out the forms, mm-hmm. you get the feedback. That has enabled us to quickly pick out fraudulent actors that are trying to get those funds. And so the bill that went through under this Ghost No Ghost Students Act took what we had learned and the application of what was done by the Department of Education relative to their FAFSA program. And so we could actually state to our Democrat colleagues that sadly opposed it. They voted for it in committee, then on the floor they opposed it. I just don't get that, except for the fact they didn't want Trump to have another win for the taxpayers in saving waste, fraud, and abuse from something they would have to experience. But we know it works now. We know how to do it. And that's the language we put in this legislation. Mm-hmm. And I'm hopeful that because of that, we will actually have more dollars that can be put toward needy and deserving students to help them find their educational space and pay for it.
Congressman Tim Walberg here on AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. Congressman, in the time we have left, I do want to have a conversation about the war in Iran. It feels like, and I have to admit, I'm a little frustrated because it feels like from our president, we get a certain type of messaging about the war ending one day and then a different type of messaging the next day. It feels like we're getting a lot of back and forth, and I don't know why he's saying where he's landing one day and then it's different the next, instead of just having a consistent message out there of we're working on it. It's frustrating, Congressman.
Yeah, it is, and you know, I feel that's some of the same frustration. And if I had all of the information that the president has, the classified top secret information, I might understand it even more. But I did hear his press conference yesterday where I think he said what I have assumed all along, that in his negotiating tactics, which he's the art of the deal maker, and he's working with a squirrely group of people who know how to negotiate, but very seldom keep to what they agree to. And in his mind, he understands that, but he also stated clearly that we hope that we don't have to do more of the type of bombing we did this week, which was extensive, and which allegedly has got the attention of whoever the leadership is in Iran right now, to the point that there may indeed be a signing next week of an agreement. The president does not want to kill the innocent Iranian citizen who has been bullied and held down for the past 47 years by this radical religious regime that's in place. He doesn't want to totally annihilate their structures so they can't rebuild after this and become a free functioning nation like they were 48 years ago. But I think his patient is clearly running out, and I think the type of bombing and the extent of it that went on this week indicated that, and it is his hopes that because of it, finally, the leadership, whoever they might be, has got the message that, no, we're not kidding, and delay much longer, and there'll be no turning back. We'll see what happens. I'm delighted that we've seen the price of a barrel of oil go down in the last several days. We need to see that continue. We still haven't got to the price level of Biden gas prices. And I put that out because I think your listeners need to understand that as well. That came as a result of misuse of taxpayer dollars, overspending, inflationary tactics that went on under Biden. And we still haven't reached the level that he had for gas. But we do want to see that go down. For our farmers, the input costs of fertilizers, et cetera, we need to see those go downward again. So, no, this is a tough time, but remember, this is also to make sure that we don't have another nuclear enemy out there that's capable of using those nukes on the United States and its assets and continuing the killing of American citizens that are in the thousands in the last 47 years, and even as recently as this year, American citizens have been killed by that regime. So there is a reason why this has to end and why other presidents, Republican and Democrat, didn't do it and allowed Iran to become the problem that it is. Trump is not going to accept that. And in the end, Iran will lose this conflict. And I think we'll be a better and a safer world as a result of it.
Finally, this morning, Congressman James R. Ducey is going to be recognized Monday afternoon as National Veteran of the Month from Grass Lake. This is a tremendous honor.
As Veteran of the Month for our district, we have really been focusing on that these past 2 years in having Veterans of the Month. We acquired a Green and Gold Fellow. That's a veteran that in a military program here in Washington, we apply for to try to get them on our staff for up to 2 years. And we acquired a great, great fellow who has been very, very committed to finding the key veterans around the 10 counties in our district. We've had Jackson, Monroe, Lenawee, Cass, Berrien County, and I think we've had all 10 so far. And this is the next one from Hillsdale County. James Ducey, as a result not simply of and I, simply is the wrong word, not only because of his service in the military, but his continued service to veterans organizations, community service, in his life after the military as well. And these are people that are whose names are given to us by their fellow vets in the local county community. So James will be our next one, and We'll be going around the horn again, and Jackson County will have its veteran also.
And are you going to be enjoying a fight this weekend on the White House lawn?
I sure am. I'm going to be enjoying as much as possible the 250th anniversary celebrations, special things, the race that's coming up here in D.C. I want to see that. But going back to my days as a kid in South Side of Chicago, where I grew up, and the many fights I had on the school playground during lunch hour, where my twin brother would have to pull me out at times. I don't know. I always enjoyed boxing and wrestling, and the pugilistic sports have always interested me. And the Ultimate Fighting Championship, mixed martial arts, is the closest thing to normal schoolyard brawls that go on, and street fighting. And I've had a chance, as chairman of the Education Workforce Committee, to work in that space because of the workforce aspect of it. We passed the Muhammad Ali Reform Act earlier this year. I met with Dana White out in Las Vegas at the UFC Fight Training Center, an amazing scientific center. That's hard for people to think of, yeah. UFC and scientific, but it's amazing what they've done to protect fighters, the training aspects of it, the finance aspects, the health care aspects. And so when Dana White told me they were going to set this arena up, I said, I got to be there. Yeah. And the president gave me an invitation to be at the fight on Sunday. So I'm looking forward to it. And this mild-mannered, steady Eddie, Christian, former pastor, yet on the other side of the ledger, I'm also a motorcyclist and a lover of pugilistic sports. And I can give you biblical authority for boxing and wrestling. So we're going to be there Sunday evening enjoying that fight.
Well, Congressman, with that said, I'm out of time. We thank you for your time this week, and we look forward to our conversations next week, Congressman.
Look forward. Have a wonderful Pure Michigan weekend.
You as well. News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM.
This has been the AM Jackson Podcast. Tune in live weekday mornings from 6 until 10 at News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM, and online at WKHM.com.